the great, the almighty and gracious God. Thank you, Father, for reaching out to us, for redeeming us, for washing away our sins. Thank you, Father, that you have helped us to become your children. And we thank you, Father, that you continue to watch over our lives, keeping us, strengthening us, guiding us, and teaching us your ways. Father, we ask that you will continue to help us to learn how to trust you in the context of any different kinds of situations we encounter in this world. Help us not to be discouraged nor deterred by the trials and difficulties of life, knowing that you are sovereignly undertaking. Help us to understand what you desire to teach us. Help us to appreciate in a deeper way your wisdom and your love toward us. We commit this time to your hands and we pray that you will have the freedom to speak to us, to help us to have a deeper understanding how to face the issues of life in the way that you desire of us. That we will not think according to the ways of the world, but according to the perspective revealed to us in the scriptures. We commit this time to you, praying for your protection and also your presence with us. For we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject of appearance and reality, the 233rd message on the Lord Jesus Christ, the 116th message. We are reflecting on the death of the Lord Jesus, the cross, the 61st message. On the third point, the significance of the cross, the fifth aspect, 3E, overcoming the world, the 16th message. And the subtopic for today, difficulties, afflictions, pain, suffering, hardships, pressures, persecution. Difficulties, afflictions, pain, suffering, hardships, pressures, persecution, the third message. And we continue with the subtopic of the previous message, meaning and significance. This is the second message on the meaning and significance. In our reflections on the significance of the cross, one major area that we've been reflecting upon is overcoming the world. How what took place at the cross provides the foundational basis for us to overcome the world. In order to appreciate the subject better, we've sought to consider some major problem areas of difficulties, temptations, and pitfalls while living in the fallen world. And today we continue with our consideration of difficulties, afflictions, pain, suffering, hardships, pressures, and persecution. We noted that this is a very major area that confronts us while we live in this fallen world. If we are not careful, we can compromise our faith because of the difficulties that we encounter. And when the pressures grow strong, we may even fall away, as the Lord Jesus warns us in relation to the seed sown on rocky soil. Mere superficial enthusiasm is not sufficient. We must be prepared to face the afflictions and difficulties that come our way. Many are very disturbed by the sufferings and difficulties of life, but if we learn how to appreciate it properly, then we will realize that the difficulties and sufferings that God allows His children to go through is in reality one of the most meaningful aspects of the Christian faith. Very important for our lives, but it is critical that we go through such times well, so that having been tested, we may be found approved and receive the crown of life. So we've sought to reflect on various aspects that can help us to go through such times well. In the last message, we noted that the attitude towards and the preparedness to face and the way a believer goes through the trials and difficulties of life has a significant bearing on the quality of discipleship, how far we will go, how deep the fellowship and oneness with God, and the final outcome of our lives. And that in scriptures and in church history, we find that this has been a prominent characteristic of men of God. They are prepared to, and they indeed do suffer much for righteousness' sake and for the name of the Lord. And if we shrink back in times of difficulties, then God has no pleasure in us. The writer of the Hebrews makes it clear to us. We start to understand why is it imperative that believers must face and go through afflictions well, and why does God allow His children to go through such times of suffering and difficulties. In particular, what is the meaning and significance of such times from a biblical perspective? This is a subject that we have been considering in the last message and will continue today. I highlighted some related points for consideration. I've covered 4 points, namely, the first one, in the world you have tribulation. We will face tribulation. Difficult times will come. So it's imperative that we learn to go through them well because we will encounter such times. The second point is that the difficulties and trials reveal the reality and quality of our true moral and spiritual state, not just what we profess with our lips. The third point is that the trials and difficulties not only reveal the realities and qualities of the inner man, they can also be very helpful in nurturing deep positive qualities in the inner man. And the fourth and final point we considered in the last message is that going through such times well can be a powerful testimony. It can be an integral part of service, can be helpful for others, and contribute to the advancement of God's kingdom. We looked at the perfect example, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the principle of the cross, as well as Paul's testimony, and also the powerful testimony of Daniel and his 3 friends, as well as how Peter glorified God by his death, and likewise Stephen. It can also be a powerful testimony in the spiritual realm, the example of Job. Today I want to continue to consider with you the 5th point. God, our need of Him, learn from Him, and relationship with Him. God, our need of Him, learn from Him, and relationship with Him. I want to begin today's message with a story. You can also call it a parable. A capable and knowledgeable father who loved and cared very much for his son sought to equip and prepare him for the challenges and difficulties of life. I'm sure many parents have sought to do this. If you want to substitute father, you can substitute with mother. Care for the son, you can substitute with care for the daughter. And the father sought to spend much time to teach, to explain various things to his son. But the son was not very attentive because he didn't realize the significance and helpfulness of what his father sought to teach him. Like many children, he prefers to play. He prefers to do what he likes. As a result, he didn't make much progress and didn't learn much relative to what was feasible. That is, he didn't learn much from his father. and what the father sought to teach him did not make much of an impression on him. Does this sound familiar in your context or others that you have observed? With passing time, as a son began to be exposed more and more to the difficulties and complexities of the outside world, he became more and more conscious of the relevance and helpfulness of what his father had been trying to impart to him. He tried to recall his father's teaching. Here and there he could recall some, but much of it he couldn't because he didn't pay much attention earlier on when his father was teaching him. But now, in deep appreciation of his father, he began to approach his father frequently for help because he knew his father could help him. And now he recognized he needed help. So he came, he would share with his father the problems, the difficulties he encountered, and sought the father's counsel and help, how to face the problems that he encountered. And in the process, he became more and more appreciative of his father, as well as his father's help, appreciated his father's wisdom, his father's knowledge and capabilities, especially when he encountered major and complex difficulties which his father was able to help him to resolve. In the process, his knowledge of his father also deepened, his relationship with his father also deepened. In this context, it turned out well, but it does not always turn out this way. But now I want to reflect in relation to our relationship with God. Likewise, if you reflect upon it, if God were to shelter us from the difficulties and problems of life, so that we only go through times of ease and pleasantness, as many believers tend to prefer, we may find that we may not be so appreciative of what the Lord desires to teach us, and we may not learn well from the many opportunities that God provides for our learning. The many different situations of life He provides for us to learn, we do not pay much attention to what God desires to teach us. We are not sensitive. We may make little progress in our walk with Him because we may not be so conscious of our need of God and our need to depend on Him. It is easy in such contexts when times are pleasant and easy to depend on our own natural capabilities, and we seem to be able to cope. We profess our love for God, but we do not really depend much on Him. You may say we trust Him, but we do not look to Him with a kind of intensity that can come about when we face trials and difficulties, especially when they are very difficult and painful. So trials and difficulties, in its very nature, they are unpleasant and they can also be rather painful, but they can be very helpful and meaningful from different angles. That is the reason why God allows us to go through such times. God does not enjoy seeing us suffer, but, and also we have reflected in the earlier message, pain and suffering didn't come to this world because God wishes us to experience pain and suffering, but because of the rebellion of Satan, the powers of darkness, and the fall of man, because of sin. But the wisdom of God is manifested because though He didn't ordained suffering and pain, He overruled the sins and failures of mortal being, giving rise to much pain and suffering. God overruled all this to bring about much good, especially for our own development. God knows that through such times, He can help us to recognize our need of God. Now, this is not so much because God just wants some people to need Him, but if we reflect upon it, we'll realize that the way God has created us, in reality, we need Him to live out our lives properly and to find true fulfillment in our lives. At the very heart of man's problem is a failure to recognize our need of God and to walk independently of Him. And we cannot live out our lives well when we live independently of God, and we will not find true fulfillment. But times of difficulties and pain help us to draw near to God, help us to recognize our need of Him, help us to learn to depend on Him, and in the process to learn many, many things from God. That is, if we respond well. And is it not so for those who love God? We will find that during times of trials and difficulties, we learn so very much from God. In the process, we also deepen in our knowledge of God, our fellowship with Him, and our appreciation of Him. And is this not the most important issue of life? The quality of our relationship with God. We become more appreciative of God's help, what God has to say to us, and during such times, we also begin to appreciate the importance of our time with Him in prayer, in the reading of the scriptures, to be strengthened, to be renewed. And also, we learn to be prayerful. Paul testified that he and his co-workers were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life, in order that we should trust, or rather, in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, He on whom we have set our hope. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 to 10. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us, He on whom we have set our hope, and He will yet deliver us. Sometimes we think that Christians of spiritual stature will find the Christian life relatively easy, and even if they go through some difficulties, it's not so much of a problem with them. It's only those who are weak who will find going through times of difficulty almost unbearable. When we look at the Apostle Paul, he was not ashamed. Neither does it come through as indication of defeat. Rather, it was part of a triumphant life. But what did he say? We do not want you to be unaware, brethren. This is something helpful. He doesn't want to keep it away from them, to hide it away from them. Let us not try to hide, ashamed of it, if we find sufferings very difficult to bear. It need not necessarily mean that we are faring very badly. Not necessarily. Although it might be. But look at the Apostle Paul. He says, we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of affliction which came to us in Asia, that we are burdened excessively beyond our strength. Even for the Apostle Paul, he found it very difficult to bear, so that we despaired even of life. And this was in the context of faithfulness to God, in the context of service. But what did Paul say? This is terrible. How come we go through such times? It shouldn't be. No. Instead, Paul viewed it very positively. It was something meaningful and helpful. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. So beyond the difficulties, Paul was appreciating God's intention, why God allowed them to go through such times. Yes, there were those who persecuted them who were also responsible. But beyond all this, Paul appreciated the purpose of God in allowing his children to go through such times. He said, we went through these times so that the purpose, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God. Even for people like Paul, it can happen. But there's something that different ones can experience in different measures, not only the intensity of the trials, but also the depth of our learning to trust God. And during times of intense difficulties, if we respond well, we can make significant progress in our faith in God, experience God and how He helps us and how He sees us through and what He has to say to us during such times. Paul went on to say, continuing with, so that we would not trust in ourselves but in God who raises the dead, verse 10, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us, He on whom we have set our hope, and He will yet deliver us. So notice that during such times, if we learn to trust God, it grants us opportunities to experience God and God's deliverance. And this is something precious in the history of the life of a believer. Notice, Paul says, and He will deliver us, He on whom we have set our hope. Now this we can appreciate from this angle, that those who set their hope on God experiences deliverance. But the experience of deliverance in turn helps us to a higher degree of learning how to set our hope on God for what lies ahead. And notice, Paul went on to say, you notice the word deliver, deliver, deliver in this verse three times. Who delivered us and will deliver us, and He will yet deliver us. We experience the deliverance of God, and this helps to bring about a stronger confidence that God will deliver. And this is something meaningful and helpful. Can we also learn from the difficult situations that we go through the way that Paul did? We should. And it can be very helpful for our lives as we learn more and more what it means to trust God and to see the hand of God in our lives, to experience God's deliverance, God's watching over us, the way God undertakes, the way God cares for us during such times. There are many different ways in which we can experience in a deeper measure God at work in our lives. Another aspect that comes through in the same chapter, Paul describes how the God of all comfort comforted them in all their affliction. As he testified, for just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. The same chapter, verses 3 to 5. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. If you study Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, you realize that in this epistle, Paul shares from the depth of his heart the many difficulties and trials that he went through, not just principal, but his real experiences, the trying times that he went through. But it's also in 2 Corinthians that you find Paul sharing deeply of his experiences of God and how God undertook. In particular, look at this word comfort. Just as we saw the word deliverance repeated altogether, occurring three times in verse 10, in just one verse. In these few verses here, and from verse 3, we see the word comfort again and again. And this in the context of sufferings and afflictions. the two going together if we learn how to trust God and walk with Him. The Father of mercies and God of all comfort. How come Paul wrote in this way, God of all comfort? Because he experienced in a very deep measure the comfort of God during his afflictions. So Paul described God here as the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Notice the word comfort. Again and again it comes through. Paul is trying to communicate to us that during times of difficulties, we experience different aspects of God, in particular, the comfort of God as we learn to trust Him. But not just the comfort of God. There are many other aspects of the being of God and the character of God and the attributes of God that we can come to appreciate during such times. We will go on to see other aspects shortly. But one aspect to note here in this verse is that we not only learn this for ourselves, but Paul also went on to say that this is something helpful, not only for our own development and our relationship with God and our appreciation of God, but also for service, as well as our understanding of others. Verse 4, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that, there's a direction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. We'll learn to be understanding towards others in their trials and afflictions, and learn also to comfort them. How? With the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Not human wisdom, human comfort, but we learn from God. And just as we receive and experience divine love, we learn to love others with the love of God. We also learn to comfort us, or rather learn to comfort others with a comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Now you notice that those who have not suffered affliction relatively, times of peace and basically just going through times of ease and plenty and pleasantness, such people, when they try to comfort others going through times of affliction, it's much more difficult. And those at the receiving end may find that it's not so real. But those who have suffered significantly and have responded well, the words of comfort that come forth from them can easily touch the hearts and the very being of the one who is suffering. In times past, we have also referred to this verse again and again in 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 6, how David turned to God and strengthened himself in the Lord in his time of difficulty and stress, when he was greatly distressed and his own men spoke of stoning him. We did not turn to this verse, we've turned to it several times in times past. David was a man of God. But the scriptures specifically recorded in this way how David strengthened himself in the Lord. Before he strengthened himself in the Lord, he had to turn to God. He turned to God and he strengthened himself in the Lord, and that was in a time of difficulty and stress. And the scriptures record that he was greatly distressed because his own men spoke of stoning him, because the enemy had raided the camp while David and the fighting men were away, and captured not only all their belongings, but also their wives and children. In that context, David strengthened himself in the Lord. Why? Because he found it difficult, and there was a greater sense of need of God, and the need of the Lord to strengthen him. And this is true also for us who love the Lord. During times of difficulty, there's a greater sense of our need of God, and to be strengthened by God, and we come to Him to be strengthened and to be renewed. And so we experience the empowering of God and God's power at work in our lives. And this is important. The Lord Himself also said, with reference to Israel, in their affliction they will earnestly seek me. Hosea chapter 5 verse 15. Yes, in this context, It was a context of Israel, disobedient, rebellious. And why God afflicted them? One of the reasons is that God wanted Israel to repent, to seek the Lord. When they had plenty, they were at ease, they turned away from God. God allowed afflictions to come in the hope that in the affliction, they will earnestly seek God. And there were those who did. But it's not just for the rebellious like Israel. It can also apply to God's children who are not walking well with God, who are turning to their own ways. But it can also apply, the principle can also apply to those who love God, who are walking with God. In times of afflictions, there can easily come about a greater intensity and earnestness with which we seek after God because of our sense of need. Is this not true? And this is helpful. It is important that we nurture the intensity with which we seek God. And this can help us to enter into a deeper knowledge of God and fellowship with God and a deeper experience of God and God's help. And this in turn can bring about a deeper change in our inner man for good. Such times can help us to cry out to God. It's not difficult during such times to cry out to God. When things are going on well, we may have difficulty crying out to God. It may not even seem very real to us. But during times of difficulty, no problem. We cry out to God, especially when it's intensely difficult. We do not need much encouragement from others. Easily, we cry out to God to help us. I say this easily takes place, but I do not say it always takes place. There are also those who become bitter who turn away, or to try harder by their own natural means. But God's desire is that we cry out to Him, and those who walk with God, they find that during such times, it's much easier to cry out to God, and during such times, to deepen in our prayer life. And not just in times of intense pain, but when the situations are not only painful, but also very complex. We not only just have a simple cry to God to help us, but we also, it's also an encouragement for us to learn how to pray beyond just superficial prayers, God help me. But we learn to pray in many different directions as we seek to grapple with the problem and how to overcome it. And such times can help us to nurture and to develop our prayer life, intensity as well as wholesomeness, meaning, depth in our prayer life. And because such times, almost all the time, also include the powers of darkness at work, which is an aspect we will consider more afterwards. It's also a time where we also learned more about spiritual warfare and prayer in the context of spiritual warfare and learning from God how to fight a good fight of faith. Such times also help us to become more deeply impressed not only with the power of God and the comfort of God, but also God's love, God's wisdom, and God's sovereignty. If we are prayerful and we are open and we are teachable, and we should. Such times, as we pray, as we cry out to God, and we see how God helps us, we can become more deeply impressed with God's love. Not just something we read in the scriptures, or something we hear people telling us, or something we read in the books, but we become more deeply impressed with God's love in our own lives, our own experience. And this is important. Relationship with God is something personal, which we must nurture and develop. Likewise, as we begin to see how the many complexities of life, how God works, and why He allows us to go through these things, if we go through it well, and what we learn, and so on, we begin to appreciate in deeper measure God's wisdom And sometimes we can see the complexity with which God works in a very beautiful way. Before we see it all, we may wonder, why is it we have to go through such times? And why is it God allowed this and that to happen? But if we remain humble and we go through it well, slowly a picture emerges and we begin to appreciate the wisdom of God, the love of God. At the same time as we see how God undertakes and nothing is too difficult for Him, we appreciate in a deeper measure the sovereignty of God. No longer just a concept to us that we subscribe to, that God is sovereign. We begin to appreciate the meaning of God's sovereignty, and we begin to develop further our faith in Him as we appreciate His sovereignty in our lives. These realities of God's attributes can only be properly learned and appreciated in the realities of life. It cannot be learned in other ways. It cannot just be learned from books. And especially so in the midst of trials and difficult times, these truths can come through to us in a very powerful way. If we learn to trust God, walk with Him, teachable. Let us not be shy to cry out to God for help. Learn from the psalmist. You read through the psalms, you'll find the psalmist often cry out to God for help, including David, the man of God, and many others. Many of the psalms you see the psalmist expressing, crying out to God for help in their distress. Likewise, Moses also cried out to God, the great man of God. He also cried out to God when he was faced with great difficulties, in the confrontations with Pharaoh, faced with Pharaoh and the men pursuing the Israelites, and then the sea in front of them. Moses cried out to God. Likewise, in the Old Testament, we also see King Jehoshaphat, when confronted with a much bigger army, how he also cried out to God. And many others in the scriptures, we see that men of God often cry out to God in the midst of their distress, and how God answered their prayers, and how they learned from the way God undertook and answered their cries. There's much that we can learn in the midst of difficulties as we also learn to cry out to God. Such times can also help us to be humble and contrite as we come to the end of ourselves and we know we can't. We realize how weak and vulnerable we are. We just cannot cope with the situation in our own strength. Crying out to God, true crying out to God, must come from a spirit of humility and recognition of need. And humility and contriteness are important qualities that we need to nurture if we want to grow well in the Lord. The disciples in the early church also faced persecution, at times very intense persecution, and also various trials. It was a difficult time for them, but it was also a very helpful and meaningful experience for them. We will not look at many incidents recorded for us in the scriptures, but I'll just quickly look through together with you one passage in Acts chapter 4 as representative of what they went through and the principle of what they can learn in that context, especially their relationship with God and what they can learn from the Lord. Acts chapter 4. The context here, Peter and John, they had in the previous chapter, chapter 3, they had healed the man who was lame from his mother's womb, and following which Peter preached the truth, that is the gospel, and the hearers were responding. Chapter 4, verse 4. Many of those who had heard the message believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. So they were preaching effectively, they were faithful, but in that context, persecution came. Chapter 4, verse 1, captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to them, greatly disturbed. And verse 3, they laid hands on them, that is on Peter and John, and put them in jail. And then the next day, verse 5, the rulers, elders, and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem, together Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, all of high priestly descent, and Peter and John was placed in the center. This was a difficult time. These were the rulers and the religious leaders, and here, Peter and John, who were considered as uneducated, ignorant fishermen, and they were being questioned. By what power and what name have you done this? So Peter must have felt rather inadequate and difficult in the situation to be able to respond to the situation in his own strength and wisdom. But by now, Peter had learned much from the Lord, and also having been baptized with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, Peter was learning how to trust God and to depend on Him. But even then, verse 8 tells us, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, and the margin says, or having just been filled, here is a fresh infilling. Now this communicates something to us, that during such times of difficulty, God often strengthens us more than usual to meet the situation. Difficult, more difficult, very difficult, opportunities for us to experience more of the grace of God, because His grace will always be sufficient, and when we need more of the grace of God, we experience more. A fresh infilling to enable Peter to face the situation, and we see, I will not read through all, you can read through for yourself, I want to go faster, but I want to concentrate on the meaning. Peter was especially empowered, and he gave a powerful testimony of what took place in a fearless way. He went beyond just mentioning how God, how by the name of Jesus, God raised this man. Not only that, he says, whom you crucified. Verse 11, he is a stone rejected by you. He was not afraid to tell them the truth, which was needful in that situation for them to recognize. And that there is salvation in no one else, by which we must be saved, which includes his hearers, the religious leaders and rulers of the day. A bold and powerful testimony. And they notice verse 13, and as they observed the confidence of Peter and John, not fearful, frightened, half-hearted, with boldness, with confidence, because they were empowered, experienced a special enabling of the Lord. But these men read, their view of Peter and John was that they were uneducated and untrained. Not like them. They were well trained, well educated, and they were amazed and recognized them as having been with Jesus. So there was a positive impact on the hearers, and it was also a very helpful experience for Peter and John as they experienced the grace of God and God's enabling in that difficult situation. And then we find that they were commanded not to teach anymore in the name of the Lord Jesus, verse 18. But Peter and John were not able to comply. They say, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. Then they threatened Peter and John further and then let them go. But bear in mind, they threatened Peter and John and commanded them not to speak anymore in the name of the Lord Jesus. It was in this context that Peter and John, after having been released, went back to their own companions, verse 33, and then they reported all the chief priests and the elders had said to them. They had been jailed, now they were threatened, And this was the context where the disciples must have felt difficult. It was a context of persecution, and by the leaders of the land, the religious leaders as well as the rulers of the land. In that time of need, we find here again, not just Peter and John, but all the disciples. Verse 24, when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord. They cry out to God in prayer, and with one accord. Times of difficulties also help to bring the brethren together and to pray more earnestly and to pray with one heart. O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea. And so they began to affirm their faith in God. And who is this God to whom they are praying? The Creator, the ruler of the universe. And how what had taken place was something that they should not be puzzled about or disturbed, because this was something that was already foretold. Who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. And during times of difficulties, we learn how to appreciate what God is doing. Not as if some very strange thing were happening. It helps as we learn to affirm the meaning of what is taking place. And even the crucifixion of Christ, verses 27-28, was in accordance with God's purpose. It was not a defeat. It was something in the plan of God. Although those who crucified the Lord Jesus were guilty, but God allowed it to happen to fulfill his own purpose for the sake of the salvation of men. Verse 29, and now, Lord, take note of their threats. We see here specific request by the disciples, and now, Lord, take note of their threats, and grant that your bond servants may speak your word with all confidence. During times of persecution, threats, believers may become fearful and may not dare to continue to testify or make a stand for their faith. And so they recognize their need and they pray to God to strengthen them and to enable them to speak his word with all confidence. And verse 31, the answer to that prayer. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak the word of God with boldness. It was a difficult time, but it drew them to prayer together with one accord, in a context where they could then experience God answering their prayers, God strengthening them and empowering them and enabling them to speak the word of God with boldness. Was the trial and difficulty that they went through something negative? No. It was a positive experience. Why? Automatic? No. They responded well, and they respond well, it will be something helpful and meaningful. True for the disciples, also true for us today. However, for wholesome appreciation of this point, point number 5 that we've been considering, we must also take note that we should also learn to appreciate God and our relationship with him and our dependence on him, even when we are not facing trials and difficulties. We mustn't just wait for times of intense difficulties to learn to cry out to God, to depend on him, to trust him, and to learn from him. Although such times can be very helpful, but we must go beyond that. It's God's desire, and it's important that we learn to walk with him, trust him, not casually, but in a deep measure, whatever our context. But trials and difficulties can help us in that direction and help us to appreciate God and the attributes of God. We want now to go on to the next point, point number 6, and that is spiritual warfare. Remember, we are considering the meaning and significance of times of difficulties and afflictions, and why God allowed us to go through such times, and why it is important or imperative that believers face and go through such afflictions well. And point number six is that we are in the midst of spiritual warfare, a point that we are aware of, but we need to relate this with the trials and difficulties so that it becomes clear that it's not something surprising. We are in the midst of spiritual warfare. And do we expect an easy time during warfare? No. Warfare is not an easy time. Paul tells us, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of darkness. It's a struggle. And not just a struggle against human beings, but struggle against the forces of darkness. How can it be easy? Especially when the opposing side is Satan himself and all the evil spirits. We can be hurt. We can suffer much pain. We can be injured in different ways. The evil one attacks us and he wants to destroy us. And this is one of the most powerful and effective ways the evil one attacks us. Through difficulties, pain, suffering, he seeks to destroy us, to discourage us, to deter us, to make us compromise, and to turn away from God and our walk with God. One angle of our understanding of spiritual warfare in this context is from the angle of the evil one seeking to attack us at a personal level and to destroy us. But the other aspect is to appreciate that the evil one also opposes and seeks to deter any attempt to advance God's kingdom, because the advance of God's kingdom is always at the expense of the kingdom of darkness. And so if we love God, we seek to contribute to God's kingdom, then we can be certain that the evil one will oppose and will seek to deter such attempts. And how does he oppose and deter? One of the primary means is he attacks us by placing various hindrances, difficulties, pain and suffering in the way to deter us. You want to contribute to God's kingdom? You want to work in that direction? He will place the hindrances. He will place the difficulties. And at times, the pain and suffering can be very intense. Turn away, and the pain will be reduced. Do you want to carry on? The Apostle Paul also wrote about Satan thwarting his ministry. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 18, we did not turn to it. We refer to this from time to time. Satan thwarting the ministry. And so if we want to contribute to the advancement of God's kingdom, we mustn't be surprised, and we must be prepared to go through, and not only to go through, but to overcome the difficulties and the spiritual opposition. If we are not prepared for that, then we cannot contribute to the advancement of God's kingdom. It is a struggle, it is a fight. A war is going on involving many battles. Here and there, we may be hit, we may stumble, but quickly get up, affirm our faith in God, take corrective measures, and carry on. It is important that together we win the war. And we will, as we learn to submit ourselves to our triumphant captain, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has already won the great victory at the cross, and in him we can overcome. So let us always remember, whenever we go through trials and difficulties, that the evil one is always actively at work in the midst of the trials and difficulties we go through. Don't just be disturbed by the circumstance or the people that may make life difficult for us. Remember, a spiritual warfare is involved. The evil one is actively at work. We must be conscious of this and learn to resist and to counter the working of the evil one. Why? So that we do not suffer unnecessarily, or in any way allow the evil one to attain his objectives. He wants to discourage us. He wants to deter us. We must make sure we counter his objectives and do not allow him to attain. Once he attains his objectives, then God's will and purposes for our lives will to that degree not be fulfilled. The implications of how we fare is significant and far-reaching in relation to our personal lives as well as God's kingdom, and the implications stretch out to eternity. Our struggle is just only for a while. During this short space of time on earth, do not lose heart. It's quite clear in the book of Revelation, it reveals to us in the future we can look forward to, there will not be that pain and tears. So this pain and suffering and tears and so on is during this brief period on earth. But it need not be pain and tears in vain. It can be very meaningful and helpful experience, as well as positive consequences if we respond well. I want now to consider with you the next point, the seventh point, that is the scriptures. The scriptures is one of the very important aspects of the Christian faith and for the believer. And times of difficulties can help us to appreciate the significance and helpfulness of God's revelation and truths in the scriptures. Such times can help us to become more deeply impressed with the helpfulness of the scriptures. Not just mental recognition, but become more deeply impressed upon our hearts how the scriptures, and through the scriptures, we can derive much comfort and assurance, and also how to understand and face the trials and afflictions that we go through. In fact, it's important that we do that. If we don't, we may buckle and go under. Let's look at Psalm 119, verse 92. Psalm 119, verse 92. Psalm 119 is a very long psalm, but many rich truths pertaining to God's ways, God's commandments, God's revelation, and how we should respond, and the helpfulness of what God has revealed. Verse 92, the psalmist wrote, "If your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction." The meaning here is not just something theoretical, but the meaning, the thrust here is that God's law was his delight. That is why he didn't perish in his affliction. But if your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. So notice here, in times of affliction, it's important to draw near to God in the context of drawing near to the scriptures and the truths revealed in the scriptures, to ponder over what God has revealed, not only how to understand the trials and difficulties, but how to go through them, and also deriving comfort. Not comfort from the words themselves, but through the words of the scriptures help us to draw near to God and experience the comfort and assurance of God. Because through the scriptures, God gives us many assurances, promises. Even what we are covering in these messages, they are grounded in the truth revealed to us in the scriptures, how to face trials and difficulties, and also to appreciate the meaning and significance of such times. And during such times, we can begin to appreciate the helpfulness of the scriptures. The promises of God become much more alive and precious to us. And as we affirm our faith in what God has revealed and see how God works, then our faith in God's revelation, our confidence in what God has revealed in the scriptures, will grow. The scriptures are meant by God to help us to be adequate and equipped for every good work, as Paul tells us in his epistle to Timothy. And this includes facing and overcoming the obstacles and difficulties along the way. God, through the scriptures, wants to equip us and help us to be adequate, equipped for every good work. And to be equipped for every good work must include facing and overcoming the obstacles and difficulties along the way. Bearing in mind, we've mentioned that in order to be faithful to God and the advancement of God's kingdom, we must overcome the obstacles and difficulties that the evil one will place in our way. Afflictions can also help us to be more faithful to God's instructions and what God has revealed. The psalmist also testifies to this, how afflictions helped him to keep God's word. Verse 67 of the same psalm. Verse 67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word." Automatic? No. But afflictions can help us in this direction. Why? Because during times of affliction, we begin to be more conscious of our own weakness, our own failure, and our need of God, and to be faithful in keeping what God has instructed. And this is something that those who love God can testify to. Sometimes they become complacent, they begin to go astray, but when they go through afflictions, it can draw them to God and to be more careful in abiding by the word of God. What God has revealed and spoken, and the word of God includes what God desires to teach us in the scriptures, as well as what God seeks to communicate to us and speak to us in our daily lives. The psalmist actually came to appreciate the helpfulness of afflictions in relation to his appreciation and learning of God's revelation. Although there's a tendency for us to dislike afflictions, the psalmist appreciated the helpfulness of afflictions in verse 71. He actually said, "It is good for me that I was afflicted." How many will say that? But the psalmist says here, "It is good for me that I was afflicted." Why? Because he enjoyed being afflicted? No. "That I may learn your statutes." Afflictions can have a positive direction, can help us to learn from the Lord what God has revealed, God's instructions and desires, and not just learn in a superficial way, but be more intense in the way we search and seek to understand and apply the truth into our lives. Let us learn from the psalmist during times of difficulties to draw near to God, as well as to search the scriptures more diligently, not just reading through, but keenly seeking for the truth of the scriptures that are relevant and applicable to our context, pondering over the principles revealed that are relevant to the situation that we are going through, that will help us to know how to go through the situation well. In that context, we learn to appreciate not only the meaning of the afflictions that we are going through, but also learning from the scriptures. So such times of difficulties and afflictions can help us appreciate the significance and helpfulness of God's revelation and truth in the scriptures. They can help us understand how to face and go through such times well. However, though I mentioned it can help us, it may not. And if this fails to take place, we may succumb to the trials. It doesn't mean that trials and difficulties will come out well. If trials and difficulties do not motivate us in the direction of God and the scriptures and the truth and what God has to say to us, then it is very easy for us to succumb. And we may actually go far astray. We can become very discouraged, even depressed. The next point, and the final point, fellowship. Such times can also help us appreciate the meaning and significance of true fellowship, mutual edification, encouragement, and support. And true fellowship is something very important in the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose, and times of difficulties help us not only to appreciate true fellowship, but also opportunities for us to express our love and concern for one another and our need for one another in the body of Christ. And this is something precious and beautiful. Even a believer of the spiritual stature of the Apostle Paul recognized the importance of support of others, especially in the context of intense spiritual opposition and difficulties that he encountered. And in his epistles, he frequently requested for prayer support. Paul knew prayer support was very important, significant, to enable him to go through such times well and emerge triumphant. And he expressed his appreciation for such support. For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, "You also joining in helping us through your prayers, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf, on our behalf, for the favor bestowed upon us to the prayers of many." 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. Paul was going through struggles and difficulties as he sought to serve the Lord. We saw this just now in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, various afflictions and how God comforted him and delivered him. But Paul went beyond expressing this area of truth between him and God. In our readings just now, we stopped at verse 10, how in the context of the difficulties, they learned not to trust in themselves but in God, and how they experienced God's deliverance. But he went on, verse 11, and this is the part that we are now looking at. "You also joining in helping us through your prayers." In the midst of the trials and difficulties, others also joined in. The Corinthians also joined in, as well as various other contexts where Paul had requested prayer. "You also joining in helping us." Their prayers helped Paul, as well as his other co-workers. How? Through your prayers. And Paul went on to say, "So that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many." The prayers of others are effective, and it results in thanksgiving from the hearts of many. However, fellowship in the context of sufferings and difficulties and trials that we go through, it's not just in the area of prayer, although prayer is a very important aspect. But apart from prayer support, Paul also express appreciation of other forms of support and encouragement. In particular, spiritual refreshment, which he highlighted several times in his epistles. And this is an area that I want to emphasize in this context. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. Paul wrote, "I rejoice over the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they have supplied what was lacking on your part. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men." Paul says he rejoiced over the coming of these three brethren, Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. Why? Because they supplied what was lacking on your part. What the Corinthians were not able to do for Paul, the three of them did. And what was it that Paul highlighted in relation to the ministry of these three men? Paul highlighted this aspect in verse 18. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Paul was especially appreciative of this aspect of the ministry of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Spiritual refreshment is something important and something that we can contribute and minister to one another. But you may say, how do I go about it? Spiritual refreshment can come about in different ways, and all of us can participate in it. Spiritual refreshment can include sincere, suitable words of encouragement. Sincere meaning coming from our hearts, not just words through the teeth. But it can come from our hearts, and suitable words. When people are going through difficulties, not just any word will do, but suitable words in their context. You may not be an intellectual. You may not have a good command of English. But just simple words can be great encouragement to people and bring about refreshment in their trials and difficulties. This can include words that can help people to understand what they are going through and how to go through their context well. Now, this can be more difficult. Not all of us can do this. You can call this counsel, although many of us can to some degree contribute in this direction from time to time as the Lord leads us, but we have to be quite careful. When people are going through trials and difficulties, and then you just offer some words as if it's so easy to go through that, instead of encouragement, it can be rather detrimental and discouraging. We need to first identify with those who are struggling and those who are going through difficulties. You try to understand what they are going through. And the words that come forth from our mouths to be suitable must include a sense of understanding, being understanding toward them. But not just words that help the people to understand how to go through and what they are going through. They can also be just general words of encouragement, of drawing them towards the Lord. And encouragement in that direction. And this all of us can do when it comes from our heart. It can also include various deeds of kindness and practical help of different sorts, which in verses 17 and 18, it could well be Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus also did some of these things. And Paul wrote, because they supplied what was lacking on your part, could include some of this practical help and deeds of kindness. But it must come from a heart of love, not just outward acts or material things, but it must come from a heart of love and understanding. However, bear in mind that even just a patient, understanding, listening ear can be very helpful. Sometimes we do not know what to say, we don't know what to do, and there's not much that we can do. But some people who are going through struggles and difficulties, in some contexts, all they need is just an understanding ear. Understanding ear may not even include that you really understand what it's all about. You do not need to understand to be understanding. Ponder on that. To be understanding has to do with the kind of spirit and attitude. To be understanding towards the person, providing their listening ear and being patient. And the person knows that you love, that you care. And some people in their struggles and difficulties, they want to pour out. And if they keep it all within, it eats into them and they find it very hard to bear. And there's someone with a listening ear, with love and patience, it can help them. And as they pour out their struggles and grief and pain, sometimes it becomes also clearer to them how to face it. But if you are able to, at times also, to say some suitable words, it can be that much more helpful. But there are times whereby silence may be preferred, may be more helpful. Just listen and be understanding. And when we open our mouths, it may not help. Job's three friends, when they came to Job in the midst of his pain, I think when they kept quiet, Job probably experienced some comfort. But when they opened their mouths, was Job helped? No. Because they didn't know how to say the right things. So opening our mouths may not always be helpful. And of course, prayer is a very important and helpful means in communicating spiritual refreshment to others. So Paul was rather appreciative of this aspect of ministry. As I mentioned, he noted this, mentioned this several times in his epistles. I'll just mention two others. For example, he expressed special appreciation of this aspect of ministry by Onesiphorus. He did not turn to it, I'll just read for you. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, he wrote, "The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains." We don't know much about this man Onesiphorus. And we look at the Apostle Paul of a spiritual stature. How to minister to Paul? Difficult. But Paul wrote, "Onesiphorus often refreshed me." Not just that he ever refreshed me, but he often refreshed me. And this is something that those who serve the Lord can't benefit from all those who love the Lord. And we can be a source of spiritual refreshment to one another, even as we go through times of trials and difficulties in this fallen world. Likewise, Paul also highlighted this aspect of Philemon's ministry. Again, you need not turn to it. Philemon chapter 1, verse 7. Paul wrote, "For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother." Paul was appreciative of Philemon's ministry, his love, and he says, "The hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother." Notice the two goes together. Refreshment and love. Spiritual refreshment comes from a heart of love, from the one ministering. And if you want to participate in the ministry of refreshment, which you should, we can all participate in this. Bear in mind, what is important is a positive spirit, a heart of love. We care. And we must have a positive, healthy spirit and attitude. Then we can minister in this area of spiritual ministry. So I want to conclude on this aspect of spiritual refreshment in this, with this note, that this is an area we can all participate in, and we all ought to participate in, and especially as we go through difficult times. It is meaningful not only for the one receiving, it is also meaningful for the one ministering. And difficult times can be an incentive for us to do so. Times of difficulties and pain, struggles, trials, can help us appreciate the meaning and significance of church life, and also grant us many opportunities to live out the truths we've been learning, thereby deepening our appreciation of these truths and their realities in our hearts, both in our personal relationship with God as well as our relationship with one another, and truths pertaining to these areas. I now want to conclude today's message with this story for your reflection. I begin today's message with a story. I want to end with another story, also a parable, or you can regard it as a parable. It's a very simple, straightforward one. A group of young recruits gathered around a well-trained and much decorated commando. I think by now all of us know what are commandos. And these commandos had successfully accomplished several important missions. That is why he was highly decorated. And these young recruits were eagerly gathering around him. And one of these young recruits told this commando, I wish I can become like you. This is not unusual, a scene like this. The commando replied, you can, but not merely by wishing. What I have attained has come about after many years of tough training, discipline, and the willingness and preparedness to go through all kinds of hardship, some of them quite terrible. Difficult and dangerous situations, and not only going through them, but with a heart to learn well in the process. And then he went on to describe his training and how he disciplined himself and the many difficulties, trials that he went through, the difficult situations, the dangerous situations, and what he learned in the midst of it all, and how they prepared him and helped him to face and accomplish the missions entrusted to him. At the end of it all, he asked them, are you willing? There was silence. And I want you to also ponder over your answer to the same question. Do not answer too quickly. Ponder over. Are you willing? Are you willing to go through many years of discipline, including self-discipline but independence on God? Years of tough training, going through all kinds of hardship, pain, and difficult situations, and not only going through them, but responding and learning well in the process, so that you can become a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, serve well in His army, and accomplish what He has entrusted to you. Each one of us in our personal context, and we fare well together as a congregation. Are you willing? God is willing to help us. Are we willing to do our part? Finally, reflect over and remember. Though we do not like to go through trials and difficulties, it is one of the most powerful, effective, and comprehensive means by which God teaches, trains, molds, and transforms us. Trials and difficulties are painful, unpleasant, but it is one of the most powerful, effective, and comprehensive means by which God teaches, trains, molds, and transforms us, so that we may be conformed to the image of His Son, and so that His perfect will can be fulfilled in our lives. Let us now ponder over our lives, what we have heard, our response to the truth, as we prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper. Reflect over the life of our perfect example, the Lord Jesus, throughout His life, and especially in culminating in the cross. The intense agony He went through, willingly, voluntarily, with a heart of love for us. But it was not suffering in vain. By His wounds, we are healed. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your love toward us. We know that You care for us. And we come before You, expressing our need of You. Father, You know how weak we are, how vulnerable we are, how easily we falter, and so difficult for us when we encounter trials and testings, especially major ones, with all their complexities and pain. And yet, Father, we ask that You help us to grow in our appreciation of Your sovereignty, that you do allow such times of difficulty to come our way for a purpose, that we may deepen in our fellowship with you, learn from you in the context of a greater recognition of our need of you. Father, we long for a deeper knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, and the love of God, and the sovereignty of God, the comfort of God, and the grace of God. Help us to recognize that trials and difficulties, though painful and unpleasant, can help us towards a deeper appreciation of these realities, not just as mental knowledge, but the appreciation that arises from our relationship with you during such times. Help us not to be deterred by the difficulties in the way, but to know that even as we live in the context of spiritual warfare, in the context of the fallen world, there will be trials and tribulations. But we thank you for the assurance that we can cheer up, take courage, because we can have peace in the Lord Jesus, because he has overcome the world, and in him we too can overcome. Help us, Father, to learn how to identify more deeply with one another, how to care for and encourage one another even as we go through difficult times together, that we will not be self-centered, so very taken up, over-conscious of our own struggles, that we forget that often in the context of learning how to care for others, minister to others, we too can also experience encouragement from you and be strengthened to go on in the faith. Help us to learn more and more the meaning of mutual encouragement, refreshment in the Lord. And help us to learn how to experience in a deeper measure the fellowship in the body of Christ as you intend for your people. Thank you, Father, for the encouragement, the perfect example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he was willing to endure the cross, we can now gather around his table and partake of the Lord's Supper. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine. We ask that you prepare our hearts so that we may partake in faith, be strengthened anew by the life of the Lord. Let we be strengthened afresh with the preparedness to face the difficulties of life in the right spirit and attitude and perspective, in dependence on you and in fellowship with the brethren. All this we pray and ask with thanksgiving in Jesus' precious name. Amen.